Kadosh, Old Testament, Hagios, New Testament. Inherently, the word means to be holy. We know we're not holy on our own terms, but Christ's blood makes us holy. So because he satisfied the wrath of God, the beef has been crushed, now we got a new identity called the saint.
Hey, used to be where I could only trust me and myself, and then that heavy metal devil that was sending straight to hell with it. Thought it was no help.
Yeah. I'm a saint. You know what I ain't. That's funny, because as I listen to that song, the Saints are playing. Well, I'm watching the highlights of the Saints. Hey, man, we're back. Made Men Radio Show. Kingpin, Big Drake, and a special guest, the Humanoid, back on with us, man. Fellas, football. So did you guys get Big Drake? I know you got to go to the game. Did you guys catch any of the great football that was on this weekend?
I missed a lot of games.
Uh-huh.
As far as my viewing pleasure, because all the good games came on right as it was time for me to start making my way to the stadium.
And they all came on at the same freaking time. What is that all about?
That is the only thing that I dislike about having season tickets. Because when you go to the game, that's a day affair.
That's right.
I mean, with traffic and, you know, knowing some people that's going to tailgate and, you know, that's all day. So if you don't record nothing, which I didn't record any games like I had been previously doing. Now, people may look at me down on this, but I do record the Auburn game even though I go to the game. Yes, I record it because it looked different on TV.
I don't look down on you. It's your problem.
Okay.
I don't care. I don't care what nobody else think about that.
Yes, sir. I missed. Of course, the Georgia game turned out to be a real spectacular game. And I know they had a couple more other games that were pretty good that I ended up missing. But
Humanoid, you got a chance to watch some football?
Well, let me tell you, it's Saturday. It's the South.
Uh huh.
The weather was great.
Yep.
I got my cigars, I got my cognac,
uh-huh.
And I went outside on the deck and I decided, with all these games on, what do? And you know what I did?
What you did, brother?
I watched baseball.
Hey,
why are they still playing?
I'm absolutely speechless.
We don't care. Man, hey, not only did I watch as many of the games as I could, I DVR'd the rest of them.
You know, I watched all I could, and I recorded everything else.
That was my day.
Look, we got to get into it then, brother. Georgia game, Georgia-Tennessee. Georgia took that trip to the Rocky Top. Big Drake, did you at least see the uniforms? What did y'all think about Tennessee's uniforms? The smoke gray.
I'm trusting. I love the gray.
Humidor?
It's got a thumbs down for me. Hey,
you're biased. Hold on. Yeah, you're going to have some level of biasness, too, to Tennessee.
Well, no. I was just going to say this. If you're a program that has a history, I think you leave your uniforms alone. Tennessee is our rival, but I think they have a history, and I don't think you have to, you know, change uniforms and do blackouts and do all that stuff to try and get your name out there. I mean, your program speaks for itself.
Okay.
That's a little level of respect from me to the Tennessee program. They have a good program.
Okay. Big Drake, what did you like about I'm going to go on record. When I first turned, I said, But as the game wore on and I looked at them a little closer, a little more detail, I was like, if it was I was a Tennessee fan, I'd probably cop one of those.
Yeah, I really... The charcoal gray look is one of my favorite color schemes because charcoal gray is like black and white. It kind of goes with any and everything.
Yeah.
And I really love, I guess it was 2010 when Auburn went to the SEC championship and won the championship. I think gray was the heat color for that year. So they did, like, even Auburn's warm-up, Under Armour sweat warm-up things, they were kind of charcoal gray with the Auburn colors. And I know a couple of other schools had the charcoal gray. So I'm a big fan of that. And I know it's never going to happen, but I would love to see Auburn have some type of alternative jersey with the charcoal gray and, of course, an orange. My thing on the uniforms is I think we have to evolve a little bit. Times have changed. It's like we spent 40 minutes talking about basketball and how the game has evolved from when Michael played it to now LeBron is playing it. And part of recruiting and getting these young kids to be excited, you know, they don't care nothing about the history and traditions. And, you know, you might get a few here and there that sprinkle in and that's real big on tradition and why they want to go to a specific program. And 9 times out of 10, that's going to be your walk-ons because they ain't good enough to get a scholarship. So they go off of tradition. But your top-tier athletes, you know, they want to go to a program that's winning now. They want to go to a program that, quote-unquote, has that swag. And part of, you know, the whole recruitment deal and getting top-notch players is a little bit with the uniforms. Now, Alabama, they don't have to do that because you got a top-tier coach. But sometimes, you know, you do need to switch up the flavor a little bit with the uniforms. You know, my motto is, you know, look good, feel good, play good, win good. So
I think it was 2011. Like Alabama played in all the uniforms in the kickoff classic. The start.
No, we didn't.
Yes, sir.
No, we didn't.
Yes, sir. No, sir. I'll make you look that one up, baby. You guys had the Nike combat uniforms. It was the combat game, and Alabama's number, it looked very similar, but your white numbers had houndstooth imprint in the numbers, and your inserts had houndstooth in them. And I can't remember who you played. I want to say you played Virginia Tech, maybe?
No, that wasn't in the kickoff game. I know which uniforms you're talking about. We played Mississippi State in those.
Yes, it was Mississippi State.
First of all, the houndstooth on the numbers was difficult to see. Anyway, at the end of the day, it was our basic uniform. They wanted to change. Nike wanted to do more,
yeah.
And we shot that down.
But still got to do. We ain't done nothing. We won't let you.
Hey,
we won't
but let I'm touch ours with
at all.
I wouldn't. Like I said, you know, you can call me old school. Maybe it's because I'm an Alabama fan, and maybe we got some of the plainest uniforms you ever seen. But at the end of the day, the way I look at it is that's the uniform of champions. I don't want us to change it. You can say what you want to say, but I'm like, that's our tradition. People see them playing helmets. It's not chrome. It's not blacked out. It's not matte black or charcoal gray. When they see that helmet, they know what it is. That's Alabama. When they see Oklahoma's helmet or Nebraska's or USC, they know what it is. They don't have to do that. And likewise with Auburn, they know what it is. I just don't think you have to do it. Now, Oregon, that's kind of their thing. But Tennessee, hey, I'll say this. you know what really impresses recruits? Beat Georgia.
Winning.
That'll impress them. I'm like, you know, because I don't think anybody's like, hey, signing day, I wasn't going to have that Tennessee cap on the table. But, you know, they wore them gray uniforms, though.
I think
have to take a shot at them.
I think people do for Oregon.
I think they do for Oregon. Oregon's thing.
For that.
I think they do. Oregon, that's their thing. I think it works for them. Maryland.
Oh, God. Oh, my God. I wish Maryland would stop trying. I really wish Maryland would stop trying. Maryland is the one team that makes me not want anything else because it could turn out horribly wrong.
those are not good.
Yeah.
All right, so the football, though. Georgia should have beat them. I mean, Tennessee should have beat these boys. I mean, really, it came down to Tennessee beat these boys. the running back fumbles the stretch-out play in overtime to beat Georgia and Rocky Top. If you him, how do you feel this morning? Because Sportsman has played it no less than 17 times. All your friends talking about you the worst player ever. I mean, he hasn't.
I personally think that call could have went either way, man. I really do. Cause, and I guess the main thing with the rule and what everybody saw, the ball started slipping out his hand, I guess, but, I mean, as soon as the tip of that ball breaks that play, the play is over. That's a touchdown.
Yep.
And I personally think it could have went. It could have been called a touchdown. And I just try to put myself, if I was the ref, I would want to ask him if that was his mama, if he would have called it a touchdown. That's what I want to know.
Would you take the cousin down from your mama?
Would you overturn it if it was your mama taking the balls?
can I ask you guys a question?
What's up,
bro?
Okay. As a referee, if I was a ref, now I can say this is wrong, but I would have called it a touchdown just for entertainment. Like, I'm not going to make Georgia quit now. He's in. Now y'all get a touchdown. Am I wrong for it?
No, I would have called a touchdown on the field too. I would have made the replay booth overturn me. I would have immediately called it a touchdown. Yep, touchdown. Because I'm like you, Humano. At least for the next 30 seconds, y'all bros finna sweat bullets. But I will
say one thing. I saw that play, and I'm with Big Drake. I thought even though the ball was moving, I thought it was still in his hand. And once it crossed that line, I thought that's a touchdown. Like, forget what happened afterwards, but it was still in his hand.
Yeah, I didn't.
when I seen the replay, and I was because the Auburn game had started, so I had flipped off the game, so I did not see it in game and in game speed. But when I flipped back and seen the replay, to me the ball was moving. I can see what y'all was saying. His hand was still touching it. But the ball was moving before the tip of the ball ever touched the plane, broke the plane. But his hand still had contact with the ball. So it's like, okay, well, it's still there. So, and I don't understand I don't know that I agree with the ruling, even that if I fumbled it, why don't they get the ball at the one? Why is it a touchback?
Yeah.
If the ball was
because it went through the end zone.
Yeah, but if I fumbled it outside the end zone, the play should be dead. Well, I guess technically, because if somebody would have fell on it, it wouldn't have been and all that stuff. So, okay. Well, I think Georgia, Mark Richt did what Mark Richt does. As a Georgia fan, I would get tired of these roller coasters that he takes them on. You know, they never prepared at the start, like I've always said. He always builds expectation, but then you have a game like this when you almost get slobber-knocked by somebody you just shouldn't lose to. And Tennessee just straight flat put that wood to him. Now, Georgia had a lot of injuries, brother. They lost another running back during this game. And I do want to go on record. Humidor, you watched the game. I want to go on record as saying, if I'm Keith Marshall, when my knee gets better, I got some for the quarterback. I got some for Aaron Murray.
Yeah.
Aaron Murray set that boy up, bro.
Big time.
I mean, the play, when you see it, Big Drake, did you see the highlight of when he got hit?
I didn't.
He set the boy up, man. I mean, he lofted the ball in the flats with no blockers and two men bearing down on old buddy. And so they just, I mean, they took the boy's knee, hip, all that out. I mean, they just took all of it out, bro. I mean, it was like, here comes the ball. Ooh. He just immediately, ooh. Oh, he's out forever.
Yep. I mean, he's out forever.
Yeah, he's out forever, bro.
Yeah, so as soon as you saw it, you were like, all right, he's done for you.
Yeah, he's done. Who's next? What other running backs do they have? Because it was immediately evident that he was knocked out, man. He was knocked out. So,
hey, I'm going to defend Mark Richt just for the simple fact that they already were down. They didn't have Gurley.
That's right.
Marshall gets his knee blown up.
That's right.
Their best wide receiver, Malcolm Mitchell, blows his knee up against Clemson.
Celebrating.
So
he didn't do it against Clemson.
Yeah.
He did it in the end zone with his play. Well,
he did it versus Clemson's end zone. How about that? Blew his knee out on the goal line, celebrating. Well, and then your next top wide receiver blows his knee out against Tennessee. And then the third option, that wide receiver blows his knee out too. So I'm kind of like, they got bit by the injury bug bad. But I would jump on Aaron Murray, and I will say this. This is thanks to the targeting rule. 5 years ago, they had knocked Keith Marshall out.
Yep.
He led him into a kill shot. They would hit him up top, probably rung his bell,
yep.
But he'd be playing next week.
I may have to agree with you on that one, brother, because players have to go low now. I mean, they have no other area of target. Because if I, like you said, if I hit him and knock him in a, and I could cuss him, then you're finding me because I'm hitting people in the head. But at least you're playing in that. Well, they ain't finding Georgia. I mean, yeah, they don't find them. They suspend them. But it, yeah. Like you said, at least Keith Marshall is on the field next week. But so Tennessee almost got their signature win. So does it count that they almost got a win?
I don't believe in moral victories. you asked me the same question when we got, you know, thrashed by LSU. No. Ask your mama if she believes in moral victories. See what she tell you. I don't believe in that.
She didn't get a moral victory. I'm not going to say that.
Yes, when it comes to, I guess, performing well against teams that you're not expected to, I think there are some good positive attributes to take from each game as far as, okay, well, we were able to do this well, we were able to do that well. But I'm just not one for moral victories, because at the end of the day, when you look at the W and L column, it's a check under L.
No matter what.
Yeah.
So Tennessee's still a loser.
Pretty much.
They're trying. They're at least trying losers now.
Yeah.
All right, man. So the rest of the country has finally got on to what Kingpin been saying for 2 weeks now. Famous Jameis is the truth. I have said before, Jameis Winston is the best quarterback in college football right now. If the Heisman Trophy voting was today, he is my hands-down winner. 100% all the first-place votes should go to famous Jameis Winston. Guys, Florida State thrashed Maryland, who was, I think, plated with their record based on their schedule. But yeah, they beat the number 25 ranked team 63-0.
Yeah.
They beat them like they was an HBCU.
Now, I watched Florida State's first game, and because it was a Thursday night, they played Pittsburgh. And I think that's how, if I'm not mistaken, the NCAA season kind of got started, was that Thursday night game?
Yep.
And you watch the first game, like, okay, this guy's pretty accurate, but he may be in the zone. Then you watch the second game, third game. Now here it is, you're 4 or 5 games into the season, and this guy's just deadly accurate. I mean, and did you see the little story that they did on his his middle finger maybe, with the tip? As like a freshman in high school or something, he was able to dunk a basketball. So he dunks the basketball, and the tip of his middle or index, not index, middle or ring finger gets caught into the net and, like, gets dislocated and, like, torn off or something. They had to re-sew it back on or something. And he really can't grip the ball like he needs to with that damaged finger, so to speak. So, I mean, what the guy is doing is pretty remarkable.
No, I didn't know that he has 4 fingers, 4.5.
Yeah.
Oh my God, that puts him in a whole other stratosphere. That he throws what he does with 4.5 fingers. Dog, I mean, he's a magician. And again, this has been my thing about him, and the reason why I say he's the best quarterback in college football. Unlike the things that Johnny Manziel does, I think they're equally as elusive in not being able to be brought down. But the difference is when Johnny breaks free and evades tacklers, he then Hail Marys it to the middle of the field to whoever his receivers can go and get it. Jameis Winston breaks free and throws a dart on the money to only his player, as if he was playing Madden on PS3. I mean, yeah, it's uncanny the ability that this kid has, man, and to be able to be deadly accurate. And one of the we have a Pick'ems league at work, and so the dude that runs it is a Maryland alum. And so I called him Monday, And he said, "All right, so what do you think is going to happen Saturday?" I said, "Listen, let me tell you something. I said, I have not seen Maryland play. I'm going to start it by saying that. I said, I've looked at your stats. I've looked at the game, you know, the stats after all your games. And I see your little schedule, and you've done well. You're a much improved team.
I see your little schedule. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I said, I seen your little schedule. y'all a much improved team. Your uniform's ugly. Y'all should kill yourself about your uniforms. But you're a much improved team. I said, but I have watched Jameis Winston play all season. He is, hands down, the best college football player in the game today. I said, if I had a Heisman vote, I'd vote for him three times in first, second, and third place. So, I said, so we'll see. So I can't wait to call him tomorrow and see what he thought about my prediction. Because, I mean, Jameis Winston obliterated him, bro. I mean, he completely destroyed these cats. And yet again, he did one of his moves. He was falling down almost on a knee, bro, and threw a 40-yard touchdown stripe. How does this dude keep doing that, man? Humano, what's your take on Winston, bro? You have a great quarterback.
Well, I say this. If when do they play Clemson? Is it like 2 weeks from now?
Two weeks from now is the date circled on the calendar.
I will say if he can do that versus Clemson, I think that pretty much guarantees him the Heisman. Like, I think he's the front runner now, but I think if he does that against Clemson, because that'll be the game of the weekend easily. If America cuts on and sees like a number three Clemson versus number five or whatever they are, Florida State, and he goes out there and does that, I think that pretty much guarantees him the Heisman. I don't see how he wouldn't get it at that point.
And, I mean, Taj Boyd making his own statement because he balled out yesterday, looking like a fat dude. But he does. Hey, Humidor, is Taj Boyd not the fattest looking person you ever seen in the helmet?
he looks like an old TV.
An old PV.
Yeah, you know them big old tube TVs. It just looks like an old tube TV with a helmet on,
a floor model.
Yeah.
The guy you set the 19 inch on top of.
There you go.
You know what, fellas? I'm a little perturbed that, you know, we let this young man leave the state.
I am too, brother. I am so angry. But again, Big Drake, like I told y'all from the get-go, though, I think a lot of it had nothing to do with football. It had everything to do with baseball. His first love is baseball.
Yep, gotcha.
He's like Bo Jackson. He plays football in his spare time.
Yeah, and I'll tell you this. We want him, but at the end of the day, we don't want our quarterback playing shortstop. We want to play quarterback.
Nor do you want him to be African-American. But that's neither here nor there. Everybody brings up Andrew Dow. Andrew Dow is that I got a white friend person. All right, I mean, you know, some of my friends are black. That's Alabama's Andrew Dow. No, you did not. Andrew Dow is the same black quarterback that they brought an unproven Tyler Watts to unseat starting quarterback at.
I'll just tell you this. I was on campus when Tyler Watts and Andrew Dow were playing each other. And I can tell you what happened.
Come on,
Andrew Zow was the guy. Franchione comes in, Andrew Zow is still the guy. Somebody in the administration goes and tells Franchione, you need to play Watts, or his dad's going to pull him out. Franchione says, fine, take him. And they said, no, you don't get it. If his dad pulls him out, the money goes too. You got to play Watts. Now, I'll say this. Before Saban got there, there were some issues like that at Alabama. It was a good old boy system. Saban's gonna play the best player. He's recruited black quarterbacks. They didn't pan out. But he's gonna play the best player. And before anybody says he doesn't give him a shot, the black guys that he recruited at quarterback, Phillip Sims was ranked number one in the country. As a quarterback, number one pro-style quarterback when we got him, who does he play for now?
Virginia?
With Winston-Salem. He didn't make it at Virginia either. Star Jackson was the guy Saban wanted to turn over the reins to, before he got beat out by, I think he might have gotten beat out by McElroy. Where's Star Jackson playing now?
He played at Georgia State. He left y'all and went to Georgia Southern. Or Georgia State.
Okay.
One of the two.
He left and went to Georgia State, which was a team just starting a program.
Yep.
He was third string there. But, so before we go down the road,
but at the quarterback position, because Auburn has one of those now as well, where we had a number one dual threat quarterback in the country. At the quarterback position, there's so much mental that goes to the position of quarterback that once it's kind of like a horse. Once you've broken them mentally, you might as well put a bullet in the head, because if they're scared, they'll never get over it again. So once you destroyed the mentality of a quarterback, you might as well put a bullet in his head. I don't care where he go play.
I'm going to tell you this, and I understand what you're saying. But if you can't make the starting spot at Georgia State, you shouldn't have been at Alabama anyway.
I completely disagree with you, Humidor. I mean, if you've destroyed me mentally, I can't play the quarterback position at Wetumpka Tech. I don't care where he is.
Thing,
it's not about the level of competition. It's about the mentality of somebody.
It's one thing to say that somebody destroyed you mentally. You could not make the starting spot at a school that did not have a team 6 months prior to that. You don't have a talent. I didn't destroy you so bad mentally that you can't make a roster. You don't have talent.
I wouldn't have been the number one quarterback if I didn't have a talent, Humidor.
So how do you go from number one? Okay, so alright, hold on, I'm gonna go there with you. Okay. We're racist. We did something to them. Is Virginia racist too? Because Phillip Sims didn't work out there. Are they racist?
Mentally, he was damaged goods when he left. He was damaged goods. He would never have been worth anything anyway. No more, nowhere else. I don't care where he goes. Winston-Salem, Arkansas State, Wetumpka Tech.
You're not
a hard Alabama fan. You would never admit to it. But, bro, Humidor.
I just told you.
10 years after this, I want you to come back on the Bay Men radio show, because we'll be big time by then. I want you to come back on the Bay Men radio show.
I will guarantee you,
even with Nick Saban,
I just told you,
Alabama would never have a black starting quarterback. Never.
I just told you, before Nick Saban got there, we did have an issue with that. I just told you that. I just admitted that. But I'm telling you for a fact, at the end of the day, that guy wants to win. He don't care who it is.
You can't tell me for a fact because you have no evidence.
So let me ask you this then. So Phillip Sims would have had a better career than McElroy?
Yes.
Okay.
And I said it with a straight face.
Star Jackson would have a better career than A.J. McCarron?
Well, actually, it was Phillip Sims for A.J. McCarron, Star Jackson for McElroy.
Star Jackson would have done better than McElroy.
I don't know about that comparison.
Okay, so Phillip Sims would have done better than A.J.
Phillip Sims would have been better than McElroy.
No. Phillip Sims was with A.J. McCarron, so Phillip Sims would be better than A.J.
But the way you put the question at me, Phillip Sims was a better talent than McElroy.
Okay, so if you say that, then why didn't Star Jackson beat him up?
Star Jackson would have never started.
Star Jackson couldn't make the cut. He couldn't play at a program that did not even have a team.
Okay.
And furthermore, it'd be different if we're talking about McElroy being some guy who came in and went 6-6 2 years in a row. He only lost 3 games while he was there. So you're telling me that Star Jackson would have only lost 3 games or better?
McElroy was also better prepared for the NFL than Cam Newton.
I didn't say that.
That's what he said. McElroy, that was out his words. And he had only lost 3 football games, but he's never played McElroy did start a game in the NFL because he started for the Jets. I think a game 17 or something. Like I said, I've contend. I've never changed my statement on this for the last 2 years we've done this show. I've never changed my stance on this. But again, I don't want to prolong on that because, again, until Alabama, Nick Saban is not greater than – Nick Saban's a great man, but he is not better than – he is not greater than the machine. And until I'm proven wrong by there being one. Now you can say that whether or not there's talent, ability or not, but until I'm proven wrong, for right now, my statement has to stand true because the facts prove it. Because there has never been an uncontested black starter at quarterback at the University of Alabama. True or false?
Say that again, man.
There has never been an uncontested black starter at quarterback at the University of Alabama. True or false?
We've had a couple. I mean, like I said, when I say a couple, I mean exactly a couple.
All right. So, but my key term there was uncontested. So, I still, through the record books, there's never been an uncontested black starting quarterback at the University of Alabama that started uncontested throughout the season. Andrews out started the season, but then he had to give way. So, until my point is disproven, I hear all my Alabama fans. I love Saban. I think he's a great coach. But until that's proven differently, I need y'all to come back to me once it's disproven. Until then, it will always be an argument that cannot be proven from an Alabama standpoint.
I'll tell you this, Ian, because I had the same conversation with another Auburn fan. That's the thing, Auburn fans love to harp on.
No.
I'm telling you, because I keep hearing this from Auburn fans.
Big Trey, do you think it's only Auburn fans that believe that?
I think it's the NCAA.
I don't think it's only Auburn fans.
I'll tell you this, Dan.
Most of the conversations with us.
We'll make this deal, then. And you're going to hate me after I say this, but I'm going to tell you exactly what I told the other guy.
Okay.
Because obviously, because he made the same argument. Star Jackson could have beat out McElroy. Well, he couldn't even start a program. He just started a program.
Okay, but come on to the next one. What's your deal?
Okay, so I'm going to just say this. Y'all can hate me after this. I might not be on the show anymore. But at the end of the day.
Hey, as long as it's factual.
Y'all be known for playing black quarterback.
No, hold on.
I did not say Auburn.
I did not say Auburn.
You're making this an Auburn Alabama thing.
No, it's not. It is not.
No, we're not making it Auburn.
No, it's not
Auburn. All right, it's not an Auburn thing, so just let me finish.
Okay.
Whoever wants to make the argument, whether it's Auburn, Georgia, Florida State, I don't care, whoever wants to make it, y'all can be known for playing the black quarterbacks.
You'll be known for winning national championships.
Okay. And there you have it.
Great discussion. Great way to end that. That's always going to be the stance on that. But my statement still.
We recruited them.
That's great. My statement will still remain true until it's proven incorrect.
Like I said, y'all go print your t-shirts. We play the black quarterbacks. We'll print our 15s.
Oh,
we'll do that.
That's good. That's gonna always be Alabama stance, and you can't prove what you can't argue against winning. You can't argue against winning. So Ohio State.
But all I'm gonna tell you is we recruited guys who were highly rated. They didn't pan out. You can't make me believe that we wrecked them so bad that they can't go to a Division II school and win a job. That's not an Alabama problem. That's a you problem.
Okay. So all those talent, they suck. And most of the rating systems are in the trash as well for everybody, every black quarterback Alabama's ever recruited anyway.
Like I said, you take my words and twist them. I said since Nick Saban's been there, because I will tell you for a fact, I know before he got there, that was a big issue. I know that personally. But since he's been there, he is more concerned with winning. He's tried. For whatever reason, the guys we brought in didn't pan out. And it don't just happen, you know, at the quarterback position. Guys don't pan out at every position. But that's just the one that people want to harp on with us, because before he got there, we had that issue.
I agree that was a known issue. And like I say, there will be a time, hopefully, you guys will get to revisit this situation, and hopefully then we can, you guys, the great Saban will be able to recruit a black quarterback that hopefully
will be able to pan out
and make the cut so that he can also win one of number 17, 19, or 20 championship with him. I would love to be able to see that day, to be able to celebrate that with the black quarterback.
I would too, and I will ask you this before. I know we've been on it for a while, but I will just ask you this. When Phillip Sims and A.J. McCarron were splitting starts, did you watch those games?
I did.
And you thought Phillip Sims should have played?
You asked me I watched the games.
You watched the games?
I did.
And you thought Phillip Sims should have been starting?
I watched the games, and A.J. McCarron got the job. A.J. McCarron got the job.
No. A.J. McCarron won the job because Phillip Sims was taking sacks and throwing picks.
Okay.
He won the job.
Okay, and you won three championships with it, so that it was the right decision.
That's all I'm saying. And the guy that he beat out could not make it at Virginia. Could not make it at Winston-Salem.
And y'all have since won three championships.
Hey, I'm going to step in now. Damn it, let's move on.
See, that Humidor, now you're proving, though, why we can't bring Alabama play our own now. You can't listen to nobody else's opinion about your school. Now, we take it against ours, but you got to be willing to hear other people's opinion. No, you don't appear nobody's opinion. All right, but no, stop. All right, so Stanford and Washington. Did you guys watch this game? This was a late one, though.
I saw most of it.
I didn't see any of it. I went to sleep.
I watched a pretty good deal of it, and then I went to sleep late on it. But I watched a pretty good deal of it.
What it is now, all right, so we've said all along, Stanford's that one team that resembles a SEC-type team. So that's going to be the true test when Oregon lines up against Stanford as to whether or not they're going to be able to hold up against the SEC. Do you guys still think so?
Well, if anybody listened to the show last week, and even though they didn't play a top-tier team, but I just think it's confirmed, I think nobody can beat Oregon. And the way they're playing and the way they're going, I think that Oregon will beat Stanford. I think he might be competitive to a certain degree. I think if the roles had been reversed, if Washington had played Oregon, and you know, I guess it's part of what we do. You have to sprinkle in the what ifs, because if you didn't go to what ifs, there wouldn't be any sports show out there whatsoever, because you couldn't say what ifs. I'm just thinking that when Oregon plays Stanford, it's going to be another Oregon showcase.
Humidor, what you think? You've watched a lot of football, and you've seen, Alabama, Georgia, not Georgia really, Alabama, pretty much Alabama and LSU are only two, has two of the premier defenses in the SEC. What do you think about Oregon's chances against Stanford and Stanford's resemblance to SEC-type football?
I think Stanford outside the SEC is probably the closest thing you have. I don't think they got the speed overall, especially on the back end. But I kind of think that Stanford, I'll just say this. Before I crown Oregon King, I want to actually see them play somebody. Because right now they're running the score up on a bunch of bad teams. And somebody posted on the internet the other day, I'm not going to take credit for it, I read this somewhere, that as of the end of yesterday, Oregon's, the teams that they've beaten, are a combined 5-16 versus Division I opponents. So I'm not saying Oregon's not good. I just want to wait and watch them play teams that are on their way to having a good season, a winning record. I mean, they started the season out with Nicholls State. They played Colorado. I mean, they've played some bad teams. They played Virginia. They played Tennessee.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, though, I don't think you can tell enough from them just running the points up on a completely overmatched team. Now, next week they play at Washington. So we just watch Stanford go at it with Washington. We get to watch Oregon do it next week. I think then we can probably tell a little bit more. So I think Stanford resembles a SEC team more, but I don't want to go out there on a limb and just say Stanford beat Oregon or Oregon beat Stanford. I want to see Oregon play a decent opponent first before I just go out there, because as of right now, they've been playing practice games, basically.
So if Oregon hangs 60 on Washington next week, do you think they will be the team to beat?
I think then we can make a definitive statement, because we literally just watched Stanford struggle with them. So if they go out there and it's 50-something to 20 or, something like that, then I'll be able to say, hey, okay, Oregon, all right, I think they're the ones. I think they'll be the other team in the championship game. I just want to wait until then, because I just don't think with the teams they've played, we really know enough about them.
I think that's a fair
statement. I mean, we know what their offense does, but we don't know, how they react because they get hit in the mouth.
Right. I think that's a fair statement. Big Drake has already went on record as saying Oregon will be the national champion.
He might be right. Like I said, I just want to wait and see.
I refrained last week from saying it or concurring, but I did say from what I've seen, I don't know if from what I've seen on Oregon and what I've seen of this year's SEC up to this point, I don't think we have the defense this year to stop Oregon from scoring. I don't think any of our defenses, you said on the back end speed, I don't see Alabama's back end speed. I think Alabama's back end speed is a liability. I think LSU still has back end speed, but their front end is a liability. So I don't think the our two premier defenses has shown the combined team defense that it would take to stop Oregon.
I think LSU has enough up front to cause Oregon, to cause Oregon a lot of trouble. Because, man, those two guys, they got a defensive tackle. I mean, those dudes are huge. And I think they could cause Oregon trouble just in the trenches. But, like I said, I don't know yet. I can't call. Like I said, Big Drake might be right. I want to see Oregon play Washington, and then I think after that they play Stanford. So I think, you know, over the next month we'll find out.
We'll see what their pretenders are or the truth.
Yeah, and I mean we know what their offense is. We know they can run. We know they can run up and down the field. But my only hesitation with Oregon is they do this every year. They start out dropping 70 on people, and then they give them a game where they score like 14 and get beat. So I'm just kind of hesitant with them.
Hey, I agree. That seems like how all the Pac-12, Pac-10, 12, whatever number they is up to now. That's how they pad all their schedules. But then they talk all that noise about the SEC. So, we can still say definitively, week in, week out, top to bottom, we play the toughest schedule in football. I don't care what nobody else say about it. Hey, y'all, we're coming back, man. Made Men Radio Show. We're going to hit the rest of this football. Me and the Humidor got tied up on some deep discussion about
Alabama.
We take it to the streets. Hey, we don't apologize for nothing. This Made Men Radio Show. We get gut on here. Oh, it's sort of, kind of. Hey, come on back, man. We're going to hit the rest of this college football. We're going to talk about some Auburn, the Auburn game. We're going to hit the highlights of the Alabama game and the catch from Jesus himself and how the Lord blessed that young man to make the – was that the number one play? Anybody see top 10?
I didn't stay up late enough.
Oh, okay. I ain't catch the full church neither. But look, we're going to hit the rest of this football, man. Come on back. This is your boy, Kingpin, Big Dre, Humidor in the building. Made Men Radio Show. You know how we do. Daily I'm conformed to his holiness, so I worship. Jesus finished the work, he resurrected on high. That means that he beat death, and best believe so will I. See, some believe they can fly, but I believe I can die. Resurrect, lead the earth, and live forever with God. People march through the sky while the stars sing his praises. Planets dance around while the universe is amazing. Me, I get the gaze upon his beauty for days. Man, if I could be anything, baby, I'd be the same. Hey, Tim is sugar-coated, dumb and dying, but I can't. Might as well deny the Christ, be ashamed, but I ain't. I'm a saint, 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 I'm a saint. Till the day I see the grave, I'm going hard in the paint. It's the only hope we got, that's why I die for the faith. I'm a saint, 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 I'm a saint.
1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul calls one of the worst churches in the New Testament saints, not because of man's choosing, but clearly because of God's choosing through the Lord Jesus Christ.